Chapter 2, Scottish Heritage Foods and My Early History. My other grandmother was Scottish. Granny was born in Dundee and was quite an adventuress in her youth. She left Scotland as a teenager with her sister Lizzie, and they worked in boarding houses as serving girls in the lumber camps of Western Canada. Of course, this wasn't exactly the easiest life for either of them. But somewhere along the way, Granny acquired my Uncle Stu and Lizzie got married and moved to New York. Granny met Grandpa, who also was a rebel, and what a pair they made. After they married and had my mom, Ruth Patricia, always called Ruth by her family and always called Pat by my dad's family, and Uncle Bobby, they moved to Brooklyn. When I knew them, Grandpa was still taking the subway from their apartment on Montague Street to downtown Manhattan, where he worked as a human encyclopedia for Stevenson Shipping Company. Nowadays, we just look things up on a computer, but in the 40s and 50s, Grandpa had all the shipping knowledge in his head. I couldn't figure out how he worked, so he explained it to me one day. He said, "Well, when ships have cargo to be delivered in certain ports, it's important to send the right ship to the port. So, you have to know the depth and all other dimensions of the port and various loading and unloading areas to make sure the ship doesn't go aground." He said, "I know all that information about the major ports of the world. When a dispatcher comes into my office, I just fill out his paperwork with all that information and it keeps everything moving along." So, basically, he sat in an office waiting for someone to come and ask him questions all day long. Because he was in his 80s, he was allowed a little nap after lunch, which he took every day working or not. During the war, World War II, Granny and Grandpa had been visiting England and Scotland and could not return to the US because there were no civilian ships. They were caught in the London Blitz and finally got back to the US within a few months before the end of the war in Europe. At that time, we had moved to Atlanta, but we came up to NY frequently to visit all our grandparents. Granny and Grandpa's apartment was on the fourth floor of an old apartment building that had hardwood floors, a fireplace and walkout fire escape from the living room window with a view of the naval shipyards. We would sit out on the fire escape and watch the warships being pulled by tugs into the repair yard. Most of them had burn marks all over them and had big holes in their sides. They looked so sick and damaged, my brother and sister and I would cry when we saw them. Grandpa would assure us that they would be repaired, patched up and be repainted and would be good as new. Of course, as little kids, we never thought about the loss of life that must have occurred on those ships. Granny always liked to have tea at 4 p.m. and my sister and brother and I were indoctrinated into the ritual of tea time. Granny would make very weak tea, or just hot water, called calico tea, in a beautiful Wedgwood teapot. She would rinse out the pot with boiling water before putting the tea leaves and boiling water in it. Then she would cover it with a tea cozy, which is a padded cover which fits a teapot with only the spout exposed. She would get Pepperidge Farms bread, a whole loaf not sliced, and slice the bread very thin, butter the slices with unsalted butter and top each slice with a spoonful of Cross and Blackwell's orange marmalade. She cut the slices into triangles and served them on little blue china plates. We had cloth napkins in our laps, and when the tea was poured into tiny cups, Granny had given me a real child's tea set for my fifth birthday. We kept it at Granny's. She had us add a little milk and one lump of sugar. We had demitasse spoons to stir the tea. We were told to sip the tea and nibble the sandwiches. Guess how hard that was for three American kids? But we learned, and we knew that tea time at Granny's was special. After all these years, I can see the ritual as plain as day. Granny also invented room fresheners long before Glade. She would peel oranges, which Grandpa liked for breakfast, and save the skins. She would put these on a cookie sheet and put them in the oven on low, like 200, and aroma of oranges would fill the whole apartment. This usually happened right before tea time. And like Pavlov's dogs, when the smell hit our nostrils, we made a beeline for the kitchen because tea time was imminent. The English and the Scottish are not noted for their culinary skills, and I guess that has a lot to do with what they have available to eat. Well, one thing Mom and Granny made well, and I have yet to master, is Yorkshire pudding. Good Yorkshire pudding is an art form, and I have never eaten any as good as Granny's or Mom's in anyone's home or restaurant. The decision to make Yorkshire pudding was usually put to a vote in our house. Mom explained, "We can Yorkshire pudding or we can have gravy, not both." Yorkshire pudding was the odds-on favorite choice. Mom told me for years, "The secret is to make sure the fat is hot enough." Well, how hot is hot enough? She could never tell me, just look at it and you can tell. I watched her several times before I got the right combination, see below. The basic recipe is easy. Yorkshire pudding ingredients: 1 sea flour, 2 eggs, 1/2 a teaspoon salt, 1 sea milk. Directions: beaten together to make a batter, almost like cake batter but no leavening in it. Mom said the pudding must be cooked in the roasting pan which had been used to cook the roast beef or lamb. She would scrape the bottom of the roasting pan to make sure all the little flecks of roast beef were free-floating in the beef fat in the pan. The oven temperature had to be 450 degrees and beef fat almost smoking. She would quickly pour in the batter, avoiding the spit and sizzle of the fat as the batter went into it. The pudding cooked for 10 minutes at this temperature, and then oven temperature was lowered to 350 for another 10 minutes. Mom would serve the Yorkshire pudding cut into squares about 3, along with the roast beef, mashed potatoes and green peas. This is still an all-time favorite meal of mine, but I can't say I've had any like the ones Mom made since she stopped making Yorkshire pudding in the 60s.